We're going to turn to the Bible now, but I'm not going to follow a sort of complete passage. I want to sort of flick around from the Bible. All the verses hopefully will be on the screen. I've given Alan a list of about 20 verses, so he's got to stay awake while I speak. But if we miss one, Alan, don't worry about it. It's not a problem. We've been studying together Luke's Gospel, and Luke, as you know, is the only Gentile who writes in the New Testament. And he writes two books, the Gospel and the sequel Acts of the Holy Spirit, or the Apostles, that story of the early church from Jerusalem to Rome. We know that he is a friend and a companion of the Apostle Paul, and he sets out to write an orderly account of the life of Jesus from eyewitnesses and shared sources with Matthew and Mark. There are similarities, but some differences. But Luke is asking everyone who reads his gospel to see Jesus and to hear Jesus and to ask, if you've never asked this before, who is he? And his intention is that you will believe and follow him. Last week, I took a passage in Luke 5, these amazing three encounters with Jesus that illustrates his power and authority. He met a leper. There was a paralyzed man that was brought to him by their friends, and he met a tax collector. And in all of these situations, Jesus showed his compassion, but also his power and authority, not only to heal physically the leper, but to restore his life. The paralyzed man, remember, he said, "Your sins are forgiven." All his friends had brought him for healing, but Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." And the religious people said, "No, only God can forgive sins." They thought he was blasphemous and they didn't see who he was. And then he says, "In order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he heals the man. And then he calls Levi from his tax collecting booth. Levi, who was a Jew working for the Romans, working for money. Money was his big thing. And he meets Jesus and he gets up and he leaves that behind to follow Jesus. And in that passage, there was this tiny couple of verses that I want to reread and just focus on a little bit this morning. Jesus in prayer. Verse 15, "Yet the news about Jesus spread all the more so that the crowds of people came to hear him and be healed of their illnesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Jesus and prayer. Our first resource. Occasionally, I've attended a big Christian event called the Christian Resources Exhibition. You ever been, Edward? Well, it's amazing. Once a year, this happens. And this year, it takes place in Milton Keynes. And hundreds of local church leaders and other people involved in Christian work and ministry meet. And there's just a variety of resources. Resources for everything. So there's resources for contactless card payments for local churches, customized keyboards. There's things from heating churches to seating. There's clergy clothing, if you've ever wondered where Edward and I get our clergy clothing from. There's all manner of types of communion wine. You'd be amazed. And sometimes they just pick on one sort of theme. And some years ago when I went, it was, "What would Jesus do?" And there were bracelets and all sorts of things, t-shirts. "What would Jesus do?" Do you remember that one? "What would Jesus do?" It really is, as they say, your one-stop shop for church resources. No, it's good. Seriously, I'm saying things in jest, but it's really good. But I want to talk about this first resource that we have. If I told you that there was a resource available that enables you to take up your dignity as a human being to truly take up your calling as a person made by God? Would you want that resource? If this resource would enable you to participate in the overlap of heaven and earth, would you want that resource? If there was a resource that would enable you to know God better, that would help you when you needed guidance, that would strengthen you when you feel weak, that would help you find peace in the storms of life, would you want that resource? And we would all go, yes! And it's prayer. And then we all go, oh. A resource that Jesus could not live without. A resource that he modeled for us. Prayer. Communicating with God, talking to God, crying out to God, seeking his kingdom first. You see, all we need as a church, when some people ask me, and they do occasionally, what's the secret of the success of Chipping Camden Baptist Church? We're seen as successful, whatever that means. And they're really disappointed when I say, well, I think it's just prayer. Oh. What else? What else do you do? Well, we do all manner of things, but if you want to know the secret, it's prayer. From when the church was just a tiny few people praying that it wouldn't close and God would bring revival, to praying that his kingdom comes, to praying that we might plant churches, to pray that we would see a move of God in our nation like we've never seen before, and we're still praying for it because we have not seen it. I remember meeting someone who'd been a minister for many, many years, and he said, I've stopped praying for revival. And I said, why? He said, it just wore me out. I got so disappointed. And I kind of took a deep breath and think, I don't want to be like that, but I can understand. I can understand when you pray for something and you pray for it and you pray for it and you pray for it and you don't see anything and you're tempted to give up. We won't, will we? We won't give up. All we need is his presence. See, without it, we can do nothing. Without the presence of God here this morning, what are we? We're a local church seeking the kingdom of God and seeking his presence, seeking his face and his glory. And I believe that when we do that, his kingdom comes. And whatever the world sees as success, it's more of what Jesus sees as success, isn't it? That's important. Prayer is always a battlefield. It's a spiritual battle. It's a really strange thing. I preached a few weeks ago on the demonic. I preached about Jesus' healing and his power and authority, but I have had more stress and spiritual attack this week because I wanted to preach about prayer. And it's really interesting because you know when the enemy whispers in your voice, it's normally, you're not good enough. How can you stand in front of people? If people knew who you really were, Philip, no one would want to come. And all this week it's been, how can you preach about this? This is so simple. This is so simple. Everybody knows that. Choose something meatier. It's interesting, isn't it? You know it's true, because when you sit down, I'm going to pray now, and I've just got to do this. Oh no, I've forgotten that. And suddenly that space and that time goes. My life's so busy, I haven't got time to spend that time with God. Yet I watched Match of the Day for a whole hour. In fact, confession time, I think I watched 6 hours of rugby yesterday. I haven't got time to pray, though. And I wasn't praying in the last minute of the England-France game. During their 3 years with Jesus, the disciples, the early followers of Jesus, had that awesome privilege of seeing Jesus, hearing Jesus. When John writes his letter, that which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have touched, one of the most striking things about Jesus is that they saw was his relationship with his heavenly Father. It was about prayer. Jesus came from his Father in heaven. They were there with the Holy Spirit from the very beginning of creation. And then Jesus is sent. He comes, leaving his throne in heaven, becomes a human being. And throughout his ministry, it's prayer that he comes to again and again and again. And the disciples would have seen that prayer was at the heart of his oneness with the Father. And it's Luke, of all the New Testament writers, who gives us the fullest of the day-to-day accounts of the relationship Jesus had with his Father in prayer. Remember the "what would Jesus do" bracelet? He would pray. What did Jesus do? He prayed. If it was so important for Jesus, it must be a priority for us. Luke is the only gospel writer who tells us that after Jesus had been baptized, he came out of the water praying. Luke 3, verse 21 and 22, when all the people were baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and the voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I'm well pleased." You know what? Until I read Tony's book, I hadn't noticed that bit. While he was praying, the Holy Spirit came on Jesus. In a few weeks' time, we'll have the joy of baptisms. You know, as they come up out of the water, and we will bring you up. Those of you who are worried about that, we will bring you back up. And Teresa, we will. And we'll be praying for you. And we want you to expect to be filled with the Holy Spirit again and again, but especially in that moment. Jesus' ministry flowed out of the union with his Father and the Spirit. John 5, verse 19, Jesus gave them this answer, "Very truly, I tell you, the Son of Man can do nothing by himself. He can only do only what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also." Imagine that Jesus, fully human, must have been exhausted at times. You know, everyone clamoring for his time, and yet again and again he slips away from the crowds so that he can be alone with the Father. You can hear the disciples saying to another in the morning, "Where's Jesus gone? Where's he gone?" He's gone to pray. Another prayerful man in the Bible, who I read his prayers and songs often, he's called David, and he wrote a lot of the Psalms. "Where does my help come from?" he says. "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Where does your help come from? It comes from the Lord. Do you need help? Seek the Lord. Those times of intimacy with his Father were the foundation of his ministry. When Jesus had important choices to make or difficulties to face, he would be found in prayer. Before he appointed the 12 who would be apostles, it says that in Luke 6, he went on a mountainside to pray. He spent the night praying. And when morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them. When you've got a decision to make, your first resource is to pray. When you've got a challenging situation at work or at home, first resource that you have is to pray. The big decisions and the small decisions. And as we do the same, we'll discover that we are enabled with his wisdom and his discernment and his grace and his love. That's why it's such a battlefield. Luke 9, verse 28 and 29, the transfiguration, that moment when Jesus appears in his glory to Peter, James, and John, says, after 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, James, and John with him and went up on a mountain to pray. As he was praying, his appearance changed. And it was watching Jesus at prayer that prompted the disciples to ask him, teach us to pray. Luke 11, verses 1 to 4. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, Abba. When you pray, not if you pray, when you pray, holy is your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, forgive us our sins. When you pray, and we know that that prayer is just a model prayer. It's not something we learn and just rattle off and say we've prayed. It's a model. But what I can say is this, if you're ever in a situation when you don't know what to pray, this is a good one. Or even a bit of it, your kingdom come, your will be done. There are so many people who are Christians who are fearful of praying and praying out loud. And I understand that. I remember the first time I ever prayed out loud with somebody. It's scary. What will they think of me? What am I going to say? I don't know. It's embarrassing. And the enemy wants to keep Christians quiet. So the way to get around that, if ever you're in a situation, either one-on-one with somebody, and you think, I want to pray for them, just pray, your kingdom come over that person. Your will be done in that person. We need to find our voice again in prayer as well. There is time for that quiet prayer on our own. Of course there is, and being alone with God. But I think we need to rediscover as a church the boldness to pray out loud. So this week, will you do me a favor? Will you have a go at praying out loud? And even if it's on your own, just pray it out loud. But would you pray with somebody? Out loud. Even if it's with your husband or wife, pray out loud. The devil wants to shut that down. Whether it's with your children or your grandparents, wherever, or your friend, or your colleague at work, or whoever it is, would you find a space and pray? The central concern of Jesus' model prayer was the kingdom. But let's keep praying that. Think of the billions and billions of times that prayer has been prayed. And there's that lovely passage in Revelation where the prayers of the saints are collected into bowls. And there comes a time when they're poured out on the earth. I don't understand all of Revelation. If you do, come see me. I'd love to hear from you. But I love this picture that think of all the billions and billions of time your kingdom come, your will be done has been prayed, and then it's hurled on the earth. Bang! Wow. Jesus also prays for his own, for us. Isn't that wonderful? He prays for you. My Jesus prays for me. In Luke 22, Simon's faltering. And he says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Isn't that lovely? I think we can apply that to us. hear Jesus saying your name, I have prayed for you. In Hebrews 7, it says he ever lives to intercede for us. He is praying for us. In John 17, verse 20, we can hear him pray for us when he says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray for those who will believe in me through their message. That is us. And ultimately in Gethsemane, as he rose from prayer, he goes to the cross. As you read through Luke, you will discover again and again and again Jesus in prayer. And even on the cross, he prays. The Father is his source. And Luke records those final words in Luke 23. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining. The curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he said this, he breathed his last. I do want to be more like Jesus. And I think one of the keys then is making that relationship the center and circumference of our lives. Taking up that first resource. Imagine going to the Christian Resources exhibition and they've just got one stall open and it's got prayer. I think that would be pretty cool, actually. Here it is. Go for it. Prayer is taking up our dignity as human beings. We were made for relationship. We have that privilege of calling God Abba, Father. Prayer is participating in the overlap of heaven and earth. You need wisdom, strength, guidance, then pray. We will not let the enemy silence us. But also don't get guilt-tripped this morning. Just come as you are whenever. We are weak in our humanness, sometimes forgetful, often distracted, yet in love with Jesus. So we say again, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus knows us, loves us, calls us deeper into him, deeper into relationship, deeper into real worship. And if Jesus needed to pray, how much more do I? I want to say to the Lord this morning, I want my life to only make sense if you are real. In fact, my life only makes sense if God is real. Otherwise, I've fallen for the biggest scam ever. Spent my life preaching about Jesus. My life only makes sense if he is real. I would love you to be able to say that. My life only makes sense if Jesus is real. And this morning to surrender again to him and give him everything. Invite him into the ordinary and the mundane, but also invite him into the outrageous and the extraordinary and everything in between. Rediscover prayer. Maybe you're the greatest prayer warrior ever. Thank you so much. But if you're like me and it's up and down, let's have another go. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask Sally and the band to come back. as we respond. Worship together. Cry out to God together. Let's just invite the wonderful Holy Spirit to come amongst us now, that he might, as we worship, fill us again. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We pray that simple prayer, come Holy Spirit. Fill your church, fill us. As we bring all that we are and all that we have to you in our worship this morning. Let us lay hold of that resource that is available to us and make it our first resource and not that last resort. Come, Holy Spirit. And if this morning you'd like someone just to pray with you or over you, then during these songs, please feel free just to come to the front or make your way to the side part over there to my right. There'd be those on the leadership team just happy to pray for you. Or sit where you are and just ask someone next to them, you know their names now, hey, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? Let's worship together. I invite you to stand if you'd like to.